And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Batter up! Welcome to No Butts, the show for the casual baseball fan here on the Athletic Baseball Show feed. I'm Tass Mellis in studio in Atlanta, and with me it's super producer JD.
Hello.
What's up, JD? And with us all season long, my co-host from Taiwan, it's Joel McMillan. Joel, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tass. I love that shirt.
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's a bit played out. Kind of done with the flowers on the shirts.
You're looking good.
Well, that's nice of you, Joel. I appreciate it. And you are in what ballpark? Speaking
Tass,
of looking good,
Tass.
What's the background today?
I feel what I'm in the gem of East Asian baseball. I'm at Koshien Stadium here, home of the Hanshin Tigers, a very famous and iconic stadium in Japan.
And it looks like you have a great seat. Haven't seen this view from one of your stadium backdrops. You're right behind the dish. Great
stuff. I'm right there, Tass, catching all the action up close.
Well, you'll be catching all the action on this show coming up. We got some good stuff. Not a great segue. Anyway, we'll talk with the Athletic's Chris Kirschner about everything Yankees. We're going to get into some toe talk. I hope you don't get squirmy, Joel. We'll get into some Harry Styles talk. Joel, I know you love Harry Styles.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Him, Garrett Cole messing with the playlist. Harry Styles had to go on. We'll talk about that. But let's talk about some potential feats first in the five best things in baseball this week. Potential feats coming up, but first, a World Series preview perhaps this past weekend. Big, big series between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Very, very fun to take in. Joel, we got the NBA Finals going on. We got the NHL Final going on. But I found myself watching this baseball series. Would you consider this a World Series preview that happened this past weekend?
Yeah, Tass, absolutely. I got a chance to watch the game Saturday evening. I believe it was a national game. The Yankees won. Judge had that great catch where he crashed through the outfield gate, and he had a home run in that game. Tass, like, to me, that game had what felt like a playoff atmosphere.
For sure.
You had a lot of coastal transplants, you know, a lot of New Yorkers, you know, who live in California out there cheering and representing for the Yankees. And at times, Tass, it kind of did feel like a home game at some moments. But it definitely had a playoff atmosphere to me, Tass. And I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest this is a potential World Series matchup. I feel there's a viable path for both teams to get there. The question is, do both teams, you know, kind of travel that path at the same time? That remains to be seen, but it wouldn't surprise me to see both of these teams, you know, facing each other in October. And I think it'd be a hell of a series if it does happen.
It was a fantastic series. Mookie Betts said it had a feel of a playoff environment. Yeah, just to take you quickly through the games, Clayton Kershaw Friday night beat the Yankees for the first time in his career. Obviously hasn't played them a lot. More interleague play allows that. More interleague play definitely gets, I think, more fans into the game. So that's exciting, cutting down on the divisional games. And then game two, as you mentioned, Aaron Judge went through the wall. First, he hit a ding-dong in the sixth inning. And then the eighth inning, key moment, it's 5-3 for the Yanks. And J.D. Martinez rips a shot the other way into right field. And Aaron Judge just gets on his horse and goes as hard as he possibly can because he went through the fence, essentially. It's a door that leads out to the bullpen, but he went through it. And luckily for him, it was a door, I think. But he hit his foot on, there's a concrete lip at the bottom, and he hurt his toe. And we've gotten word now that he's on the 10-day injured list with a bruise and a ligament strain of that big right toe. So it's not broken. There were some worries that it would be a longer stint. By all accounts, it's not. But an incredible catch there to snag that ball, because it would have been a different outcome. And then the Yankees won the final game of that series. So took 2 of 3 there. We'll get more into the Aaron Judge and what that means for the Yankees a little later on with Chris Kirschner. But yes, absolutely. A very, very, very fun series. And as soon as I saw that, I said, we need a little bit more in-depth on the Yankees. So we had to talk to Chris Kirschner. But totally, all these finals going on, Joel. Although NHL, they don't call it the finals. They hate that. It's the NHL final, the NBA finals. But I found myself really excited by this series. So we'll start with that. But let's move on to an incredible potential stat regarding Bo Bichette and his dad, Dante. The Blue Jays, Bo Bichette leads the AL in hits like he has the past two seasons. He also leads the AL in batting average at .332. His dad, Dante Bichette, hit over .330 two different seasons. I didn't know that. I didn't think he was such a great hitter for average. I thought it was more about the ding-dongs hitting Colorado. He had that 40 home run season where he was runner-up for MVP. But he did hit for average as well. And if Bo Bichette hangs on to do this, Joel, to hit .330 plus, they would be the first father-son duo to hit .330 for a season and qualify for the batting title. So an incredible feat. There are some other father-son duos that we'll get into that our man Jason Stark pointed out that had good averages but didn't qualify for the batting title, so they had fewer plate appearances. But I know you love your Bo. Did you know that this this actually could happen, that this was a possibility, that Dante hit so well in his career?
Yeah, Tass, that surprised me when you told me about this. When we were putting this together, I was quite surprised too. I thought he was more known for his power game. But in terms of this, you know, becoming a reality, absolutely. I mean, Bichette is one of the best pure hitters in the game right now. He's a very aggressive hitter. He's a smarter hitter. Like, the dude's just a hit machine. The knock on him is he still doesn't take a lot of walks. So when he's slumping, he's just basically kind of an automatic out, you know, because he goes up there hacking all the time, which, you know, that's just kind of how he is as a hitter. Whereas, you know, take his teammate, for example, Vladdy. When Vladdy's not hitting so well, he'll still take a walk and get on base the odd time. But, I mean, Bo's one of the best hitters in the game today. He's entering his prime. Like, he's even becoming better as a hitter. I just think he's going to become more, you know, smarter and more selective, and those hits are just going to keep dropping. And, you know, for him to hit .330, like, I don't even really think that's going to be a challenge for him at this point. Like, he's just that good.
Well, he hasn't done it yet, Joel. He hasn't done it yet, because we wouldn't have this amazing stat if he had done it for a full season. But you're right. He could easily do that. And as we were talking earlier on in the season, when Matt Chapman was hitting .400 for the Blue Jays, you said, well, let's slow your flow there, Tass, because Bo Bichette is far more likely to hit .400 if we're going to get into those type of numbers. It often happens in baseball where we see somebody hitting that high early on in the season. And just a note, in the NL, Luis Arraez is still hitting .400. He's hitting .401 right now, which is phenomenal stuff. Seeing the comparisons out there to John Olerud, because Olerud, you know, ended up hitting .363 way back. The comparison is that he's basically has some identical numbers to him. Obviously, a lot of other guys have hit .400 earlier in the season, but there you go. Yeah, Dante and Bo, they could hit .330 for the first time as a father-son duo. Terry and Tito Francona did it if you adjust to 200 plate appearances or more, if you drop the bar a little bit. So they didn't qualify for the batting title. But yeah, I was surprised to see Dante. He also had a .340 season, and his career batting average was .299. Surprising stuff. All right, let's move on to another item here in the 5 best things in baseball. Sarah Langs, incredible story. She's an MLB researcher who's beloved by baseball fans because she loves the game so much. If you follow her Twitter account, you'll often see her say, baseball is the best, almost hourly. She's firing incredible facts as a baseball researcher out there. And she was diagnosed with ALS Back in 2021, she told everyone about it last fall, in the fall of 2022, and she was showered with love on June 2nd as part of an effort by MLB to raise awareness for ALS. June 2nd is Lou Gehrig's day, the day Lou Gehrig passed due to complications from ALS. Joel.
Yeah, this was a really feel-good moment, you know, obviously for her, her family, her friends, and I think baseball in general. One of the things, Tess, I think baseball does really well is these kinds of ceremonies and these kinds of moments. You know, another example would be the Stand Up to Cancer moment they have. I believe it's during the All-Star game, and I think they do it during the World Series. I'm not sure. But, you know, they shine in these moments. It was a great moment for her, and just, you know, she'll always have that memory of, you know, coming onto Citi Field and, you know, being cheered by all of her friends and family and peers and, you know, people in the game. And to have that moment, it's just truly, truly special. And yeah, she's an amazing personality. The stuff she posts, it's really obscure stuff. I love following her. She's got some great stuff. And yeah, it was just a great moment. I'm happy for, you know, her and her family that she got this.
Yeah, you mentioned her walking out to Citi Field, and she was honored in every broadcast booth on June 2nd, and I encourage everybody to go read Mandy Bell, reporter Mandy Bell's incredible tribute on MLB.com to her friend Sarah Langs, which was phenomenal stuff. And obviously, if you're not following Sarah Langs, as you said, very, very, the minutiae of baseball, she gets really into it. Sort of like, yeah. You know, we just mentioned Jason Stark, who does that type of thing. Sarah Langs also gets deep into baseball, and she absolutely adores it. So it's, you know, her love for baseball is infectious. So definitely go follow her. All right, moving on to the fourth item here. Another rarity, courtesy of our friend Jason Stark, who pointed this out. Another rarity could happen. Catchers almost never lead the league in walks. Almost never happens. Although the Orioles, Adley Rutschman, he could do it. Yeah, I know you love your Adley Rutschman, Joel. He could be leading the league in walks. He is currently the league leader in walks in the AL. Just shower Adley Rutschman with love, please, Joel.
Oh, Tass, you don't need to twist my rubber arm to do that. I love my boy Adley. Yeah, he's leading the American League in walks with 44. He's 12 behind Soto, who's the league leader with 56 walks. Tass, I mean, he's a complete hitter. I know he's so young, but he just looks like a veteran hitter. He's so complete. He's, you know, he's left-handed. You know, he's got decent power. He draws walks, obviously, and he's a great contact hitter. Tassie's tailor-made for the American League East, I feel. So do I think he's going to lead the league in walks? I hate to say it because as much as I like him, I'm going to say no just because Soto's such a freak at drawing walks. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished top three in walks. And Tass, you know, like for, you know, to get that kind of production, that offensive production from the catcher position is unreal. And Tass, just for a bit of context here, since Adley has come up to the Orioles, they're 101-75 with him in the lineup. So Tass, he's a key player to that team, both offensively and, you know, obviously managing the pitching staff. So, you know, he's an exciting player to watch. And I feel Baltimore's success simply comes and goes with him. Like, he's that guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink at this point, even though he's a second year player. He's the guy.
As you said, he's leading the AL in walks, and that's the only stat we're looking for. Even if Soto was leading the NL in walks, this is a very rare feat for what Rutschman is doing right now, leading the AL in walks, and hasn't been done by a catcher in a long time. And I just wanted to ask you if you knew the last catcher who did it, because it's such an incredible baseball name.
Oh, I think I came up. Tess, is it Mickey Tettleton?
There we go, Mickey Tettleton.
Oh, I pulled that one out.
Yeah, Mickey Tettleton. What a name. Only three catchers have done it in the modern era. Mickey Tettleton, Daryl Porter, and Gene Tennis. You know Gene Tennis, the bench coach for our Toronto Blue Jays when they won the World Series. T-E-N,
oh,
ace.
Good call. Good
yeah,
call.
You remember those days. And I said the only three catchers have done in the modern era. That's correct, right? Because the catcher previous to them was 1908. that doesn't count as the modern era, does it? I don't know where the line is for the modern era when it comes to...
No, I don't believe that's part of the modern era. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is either, yeah.
And a question for you. When you said Rutschman is tailor-made for the AL East, does that mean he's just an incredible... He's got an incredible eye, incredible contact hitter. It's just a tough division to play in. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the bandbox stadiums in the American League East, and, you know, they've got a short right field, you know, Yankee Stadium and even, you know, Camden Yards, as well as the pesky pole there in Fenway Park. So, you know, being a left-handed hitter, you know, it's easy for him to, you know, put more balls out. So, yeah, he's tailor-made for this division.
All right. Great stuff. Not so great stuff, but we needed to include this last story. The Rangers, Jacob deGrom, unfortunate news for him. He was obviously signed from the Mets this past offseason. Huge offseason deal. But he's injured again, Joel. Unfortunately, he will be undergoing a second Tommy John surgery as he approaches 35 years of age this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tess, I don't know if you got a chance to see him speaking with the media the other day, but, you know, he got choked up and he was fighting back tears. And that's really, you know, tough to see, you know, a guy go through it like that. Unfortunately, this was a risk. I mean, DeGrom's injury history is no secret. Texas obviously knew that when they made this deal. This is obviously worst case scenario for them and for DeGrom. Luckily, they've still kind of been able to weather the storm so far. They've got one of the best records in baseball. They're playing fantastic. So it's a shame that, you know, DeGrom isn't going to be part of this, because Tass, if he was healthy, you know, and I think Texas is for real, I'm not going to totally buy in, but I mean, they would probably be on the short list for World Series favorites with that team they've got right now. So it'll be interesting to see if Texas can, you know, do this without him. And Tass, just also to point out, he's 34. I believe he's going to be 34 in a couple of weeks. When he comes back, he's probably going to be 36 years old. How good is he going to be at 36, coming off of two Tommy John surgeries in his career, you know, and given his injury history? I hope I'm wrong. I hope he defies the odds and, you know, kind of does what Verlander did. He had Tommy John surgery late in his career, and now he looks, you know, reborn again out there. He's still throwing great. So I hope that happens with DeGrom, you know, as a fan of baseball. But, I mean, given his history, I'm not really, you know, I don't know if I would take that bet. So I just hope he gets better. It's tough for him. It's tough for the Rangers. But, you know, unfortunately, it happens sometime.
He'll be 35 later this month, signed for a five-year, $185 million deal in December. And you just posted on our Instagram account, @no_bunts, about Steven Strasburg's huge, huge contract that he signed, mm-hmm. And unfortunately couldn't fulfill anything close to the contract obligations, anything close to the expectations for him. And this is a similar situation here, as DeGrom just signed, looked great in the innings he could pitch, mm-hmm. as Strasburg did, you know, after winning the World Series in 19. So I think that's a fair comparison to make. And unfortunately, his later 30s here to be undergoing a second Tommy John surgery. Yeah, doesn't bode well. And he told Ken Rosenthal in the offseason that he wanted to get into the Hall. That was the ultimate goal here in his late 30s. And it's a seemingly a borderline case. I think most people think it's unlikely where he's at.
Yeah, Tess. Yeah, like right now, like I would say he's borderline. He still needs a couple more healthy, productive years, I think, to make him a slam dunk. And Tass, the thing is, I mean, people might disagree, but like when healthy, Jacob deGrom is the best pitcher on the planet. Like to me, and he's the best pitcher on the planet, I would say, almost by like a substantial amount. I mean, the stuff he can do with the baseball is unreal, but he's just hurt so often. But when healthy, I wouldn't take anyone over him.
All right. Unfortunate news there out of Texas as they are having an incredible season. Moving on here, talking about an incredible season. It's fun watching the Yankees. So yesterday, I got to talk to Yankees beat writer Chris Kirschner before the Aaron Judge news came down. We'll get to that right after a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Back with No Bunts, and now we welcome in The Athletic's Yankees beat writer, Chris Kirschner. Gotta talk some in-depth Yankees this week. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Chris, I was in Denver this past weekend. That's a brag. Covering the NBA Finals, and I'm watching the Dodgers-Yankees, and I see Aaron Judge run into the fence to make an incredible catch, and I was just marveling at it. I'm marveling at this guy's entire season. He's had such a really good year in comparison to last year. Basically, the numbers are identical, Chris. What has been the most impressive thing about Aaron Judge to you this season?
That he's pretty much having the same season as last year. And, you know, last year was a historic season where he hit 62 home runs and broke Roger Maris's 61 home run record in the American League. The fact that he's doing it again is unbelievable. I didn't think it was possible. You know, he had talked in spring training about how he didn't want to run it back. He wanted to be better, which, I mean, yeah, like every player wants to be better, but it's hard to be better when you hit 62 home runs and it's one of the best seasons really in modern baseball history. If it wasn't for the fact that he missed 11 games because of a hip injury, it's very possible that his numbers at this point would be better than the pace that he had set last year, which is, I mean, it's crazy. And just the things that he's also doing defensively, like you mentioned the catch in Los Angeles this weekend where he ran through the fence. He had one just a few days prior in Seattle where his entire arm was over the wall and he robbed Teoscar Hernandez of a two-run homer. He can do things on both sides of the field, and it's really impressive just because of the fact, you know, he is 6'7", and a lot of the times players who are that large do not have long-term success. It's very few who are at his size in major league history who, you know, have had careers as long as he has. So just the fact that he's able to do this day in and day out, I think, is really, really impressive.
We're getting into the all-time great conversation when he's doing it in back-to-back years, as you said. I think the defensive grabs have stood out to me this year even more so. So it's almost like he's even more impressive. As you said, he's missed all those games, and he's still leading the AL in home runs, and basically the numbers are identical. He could have been at a pace where he was ahead of what he did last year, which is ridiculous. And now he might have to sit out more games because of the potential toe injury. Because when he ran into that fence, I think we have a photo of it, JD. You went and grabbed a photo of the dent in the fence that 6-7 foot frame caused when he ran into it. So there may be a toe injury. There may be some news coming in today. My question is, how big is Aaron Judge's big toe? Because that's a large man. Have you seen that toe up close and personal, Chris?
Unfortunately, I have. I've seen a lot of feet that I would rather not see. I think he has a size 17 foot. But when we spoke with Aaron in Los Angeles on Sunday after the game, he sat out Sunday Night Baseball because he said that his toe was sore and there was some swelling in his toe. I was surprised that he didn't have a shoulder injury because, like you just showed, you know, there was a sizable dent in the fence, but it wasn't his shoulder or his upper body. It was his toe when he crashed into the concrete that's on the bottom of the fence. That's where he hurt himself. You know, if it is a toe injury, you know, people may scoff and say it's just a toe, but you know, it's very important because it's his right so, which means it's the one that he's going to be pivoting on when he swings. The Yankees experienced this last year with DJ LeMahieu. He had a toe injury. It was his second toe, not his big toe, but it completely zapped all his power, and he was just a shell of himself, and he ended up not being on the postseason roster. So it is a serious injury. I thought it was interesting how on Sunday when Judge was speaking with us, you know, he had multiple opportunities to shoot down that, you know, his toe's not broken. He didn't do that. He said if he was on the IL, then it is what it is, essentially. So the answers that Judge was giving to the reporters after Sunday's game, it made me believe that the toe injury is certainly serious. And it'll be interesting to see what the injury actually is when the Yankees open clubhouse later today.
Yeah, I really hope it's not a long-term injury because, as we said, the pace that he's on, doing it in back-to-back years, it would stink if he has to go on the injured list again, like he did earlier this season. I just want to know from your perspective, because this is your first full season covering the Yanks. You went there last summer, I'm sure it was a great experience for you. You said, like, as you said, this is a dream come true for you. How's it been your first full season covering the Yanks?
It's definitely easier to cover them on a day-to-day basis just because of the fact that I started at the beginning. You know, I had a full spring training. I was around the team from the very start. I was able to meet several front office people who I hadn't met before. I was able to develop relationships that I didn't really have when I started in August of last year. You know, Judge knows who I am much better than what he did last season. He wasn't really around much in the clubhouse just because of the fact that, like, every single day people were asking him about, you know, chasing Roger Maris, and I totally understand that it can get annoying, and you know, you just want to focus on your own things. But it's definitely much easier to cover them on a day-to-day basis now that the players know who I am, they know what I'm about, you know, they know that when I'm writing a story, I'm going to tell it fairly. So I think from that perspective, it's much easier to do my job now than what it was when I started on August 1st. And especially when I started that August, the Yankees were terrible. I think they had like their worst month in like 30 years. So no one wants to talk to a new reporter who's trying to develop relationships and write stories because the team was horrible and they were on the verge of collapsing and having this epic division loss where they were up at, I think, 15 games in June or July, and Tampa had cut it to 3.5 games in September. So no one really wanted to talk to the new reporter or get to know me. So thankfully I had that going into this season with starting in spring and being around the team more now.
All right, I appreciate that. Thanks for that background. Even as a Jays fan myself, even I find the Yankees interesting this season. I can't hate. I got to hate as a Blue Jays fan because they absolutely despise the Yankees. Great rivalry that they've got going on this season. But there's so much going on the field that's really interesting. Josh Donaldson, a player that you wrote about, questioning whether or not they would DFA him, whether essentially they would cut him. He's back now after missing a bunch of time with injuries. My question now, as he's playing here, he's playing some third, he's DHing as well. How long do you think Josh will be with the New York Yankees?
Well, I mentioned him before, but you know, DJ LeMahieu hasn't looked himself this season too. You know, he looked bad in the second half of last season with his toe injury, and it's kind of carried into this year. So with DJ not playing well, it's definitely opened the door for Donaldson to get more playing time. You know, coming into the season, I thought it was definitely a possibility that the Yankees just cut bait with Donaldson and Aaron Hicks. They ultimately got rid of Aaron Hicks and DFA'd him, and now he's with Baltimore and he's playing well. But I thought the same fate was likely for Donaldson. But because of the fact that DJ LeMahieu, who you know, can play third, and he was playing third primarily when Donaldson was out with his strained hamstring. He's not playing well. So it's definitely opened the door for Donaldson to continue throughout the season. You know, the one thing with Donaldson, he's a really, really good defender. He hasn't lost that. But last season, he definitely showed some signs of decline, especially at the plate. His exit velocity numbers were down. His hard hit rate was down. Sweet spot percentages were down. All the advanced metrics were showing that someone was in decline, especially at his age. He's 37 years old. And not every player who's at that age, you know, gets better. But, you know, throughout, even in the spring, Aaron Boone's quote was, you're crazy if you don't believe in his ability to come back. I mean, I guess count me in the crazy bunch, because I didn't think it was possible. But for Donaldson, I think a lot of it comes down to if DJ LeMay is going to be healthy or not. If he's not, then he's probably going to be – then Donaldson's probably going to be on the team throughout the season. If DJ can reemerge as one of the team's most important players, then I think that puts Donaldson more at jeopardy. But also, you know, they have Oswald Peraza, who's their top prospect down in AAA. He plays shortstop, but he played a couple games at third base. If Peraza continues to hit as well as he has, the Yankees are going to have to make room for him. They're not going to make room for him for at shortstop because they have Anthony Volpe there. He hasn't played well, but you know they're committed to him. So really, the only place where there's a possible opening, you know, Gleyber Torres is doing well at second base. So really, the only position that Peraza has a chance to play is third base. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the season continues.
Yeah, you mentioned Torres. I mean, this team just, I hate to admit it, just has too many interesting guys. And Volpe and Cabrera, I can't hate. They are extremely interesting. But I wonder what you think their ceiling is. Because as we speak right now, Tampa first in the East. What an incredible start to their season. Baltimore currently second. And the Yankees are third. Do you think this team has what it takes to beat the best and the best in the AL to get to the World Series?
I've been saying since the offseason, you know, if they didn't improve the offense, then no, I don't really see them winning a title. They didn't improve the offense in the offseason. So it's the same lineup that they're running out from last season. They got swept by Houston. They struck out 50 times in the ALCS. Houston got a little worse. You know, they obviously lost Verlander. Gurriel's no longer there. You know, they're definitely a worse version of what they were last season, but I still have questions about the Yankees and their ability to hit in the playoffs. You know, they're always going to be a good regular season team. That's never in question. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be one of the wild card teams if they don't win the division outright. So that's not in question. It's just always the fact of, does this team have enough offense to win in the playoffs? You know, they're still too right hand dominant. If they get a left-handed outfielder specifically at the trade deadline, I definitely think that can help their chances. But you know, as of now, I still think that they're a couple players short. Yeah, obviously they have a lot of talent right now, but you know, that talent is only going to take them so far, as we've seen, especially in the Aaron Judge era going back to 2017. It's the same problem on paper right now. They're too right hand dominant. They're easily exploitable. So right now, like if the roster just stays the exact same, which I don't think it will, the Yankees always make moves, but if it just stays the same right now, then no, I don't think they are a legitimate World Series contender. They're definitely in the mix, but like I wouldn't pick them to win a title.
You're right. That's a good point about them making a move, as they always do. So the trade deadline will be interesting. One other thing that I thought was interesting, this reporting that you had in the clubhouse about Gerrit Cole and changing the music. Please please tell the No Bunts listeners and viewers about that scenario.
Yeah, the Yankees have a post-game music playlist that they cycle through, like the same five or six songs. The other night in Seattle, they had LMFAO's Shots with, you know, shot. That I guess Gerrit Cole didn't like that choice. So he walked over and played Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar, said a curse word and was like, "Goat." And then he was just like bobbing his head back to his locker, like just really thrilled with playing Watermelon Sugar.
Gerrit Cole walking away saying, "Effing goat." The effing goat. Harry Styles is the effing goat playing Watermelon Sugar. Too good. And he has had some history. But there was something else, right, where he played Harry Styles Once Upon a Time as well. Like, that wasn't just the first time.
In the clubhouse, you're talking Gerrit Cole? Yeah. I don't think so. Oh. He the other day, I think it was the same day before the game, there's a guitar that, like, lives in the Mariners visitors clubhouse, and he was playing like a couple of rock songs. Like, he was having a concert for the reporters. I mean, I think the one thing that I've definitely enjoyed over the past almost now full season is Gerrit is definitely a goober. He is definitely very what's the word I'm looking for? He just has like a really good personality. And like, you probably wouldn't know that if you're just watching him pitch, because he's very intimidating on the mound, and he can be very intimidating to talk to. But like, when you actually do talk to him one-on-one, like, he is kind of like a kid at heart. And I don't think people would really know that if they were just watching him pitch on the mound.
Absolutely not. That's why you got to get Chris Kirshner's reporting at The Athletic. Great stuff. Last question. We had you on last year when you performed in the Brewers sausage race, classic sausage race. You were the Italian sausage, right?
Yes.
Are you planning on doing that again, or is that a bucket list item for you?
No, they don't play the Brewers this year. You know, if they did, I would certainly run it again. I want to win, because last time I did it, it was rigged that night. They had some promotion for chorizo, and the chorizo guy was being recruited to run track. So I'm not a track star, but I finished in second place. So I want to run an actual race where the playing field is even. That night, I mean, I lost by like 50 yards, so I had no chance to win.
Oh, okay. Well, the schedulers, I'm sure, will give that to you in 2024.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah, Yankees at Brewers. Let's do this. All right, Chris, really appreciate you coming on. Chris Kirshner, find his work at The Athletic. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
After the break, a hilarious Aaron Boone story. We'll be right back.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day, crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants, an upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads, an ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB show.
Back with No Bunts. Fun to talk to Chris Kirschner. And just to clarify, that interview was done yesterday before the Aaron Judge news came down that he is on the 10-day IL with the toe ligament strain and bruise. Not broken, so by all accounts, he should be back, hopefully, within approximately a week or so. Let's stick with the Yankees, Joel. Because I found it pretty interesting that this whole Aaron Boone getting tossed scenario happens a lot. Yankees manager Aaron Boone recently suspended, actually, because he accidentally spit in an umpire's face. This is a common occurrence, Joel, where he gets ejected, not the spitting, the ejection part. How many times has he been ejected this season?
I believe he's been ejected 4 times this year, and I think he got ejected 3 times over a span of like 10 days or 2 weeks. Yeah. Tass, his ejection mixtapes on YouTube are gold. You know, if you've got some time, just go check it out. Like, he comes out of that dugout ready to fight and argue. Tass, I like Boone. I'm not a Yankees fan, obviously, but I like Boone. I love the passion that he has. They spoke with him after, like you said, he was suspended for a game, you know, for accidentally spitting on an umpire, you know, and he had said, like, I'm not going to tone down my behavior. I'm not going to change. I like that. You know, but he also said, to his credit, I don't feel like I'm being targeted. So, you know, yeah, I just, like, as a baseball fan, I just love Boone out there arguing all the time because he's so animated and it's just so entertaining to watch him get into it with the umps. But yeah, he's on a pace right now.
He is on a pace. 30 managerial ejections since he became a manager in 2018, the most among managers over that span. He could be the all-time leader if he has, at this pace, if he has a long career as a manager at this pace. It would have to last a while, but he could catch Bobby Cox, who is the king. Let's just talk about him as the manager of the Yankees. Do you think he is the guy for the Yankees that can, you know, lead them back to the promised land?
Yeah, Tess, I mean, that's a fair question. I feel this comes up a lot, and I feel it comes with the territory of being the manager of the Yankees. Your name's constantly going to, you know, be in the press about, is this the guy? Is this not the guy? I think he's the guy, Jim, just simply because his body of work to me indicates that, like, he's still warranted to be in this position. He's took the Yankees to the American League Championship Series twice as a manager. Unfortunately, he's 0-2, and both of those losses were to Houston. But he's done a great job of the regular season, Tass. He's a good manager. He's had to, and, you know, and Kirschner talked about this in his interview, the way that roster is constructed, it's kind of feast or famine. They do lack, you know, left-handed power. You know, you guys were talking about that earlier. So he has to make do, like, with what he's been given. And I feel that, you know, Boone is great at getting the absolute maximum out of every single player for the situation. So I think he's a great manager. And, you know, for people who might disagree with me, and I'm sure there's Yankee fans who do, my question is, like, who would you replace him with right now? Who would you replace him with? He's good in New York. He knows that. He's media savvy. You know, he's played for New York. He knows the scene there. So, like, if not Boone, like, who else? I mean, he's the guy right now. Obviously, you're not having this discussion with the Yankees playing well, but I know it'll probably come up this season when the Yankees slump a bit and people will call for his head. But, you know, to me, he's the guy.
All right, great points. Yeah, and he has played there, and I guess that's why you decided that would be the impetus for some trivia here, Joel. You decided I'm gonna throw some trivia questions at Tess. I don't know why you're asking me. I should be asking you as the expert. Are we gonna go through some trivia questions about Aaron Boone's playing career? Because I don't know a lot about Aaron. I mean, I know the home run.
Okay, well, Tass, okay, well, then I think you're going to do good with one of the questions. You got three simple questions for you here, Tass. Chances for some bonus points. Okay. So, Tass, first question.
Yep.
Aaron Boone hit a walk-off home run in Game 7 in the 2003 ALCS. So, three small questions. Who did Boone play for? Who was his team playing? And bonus point, who was the pitcher that threw the pitch that he hit the walk-off on?
Okay, well, it was for the Yankees. In the 03 ALCS, I know they played the Marlins in the World Series, but in the ALCS, who did he hit that off? They obviously played the Red Sox the next year. Jeez, Joel. I mean, I'll go the Sox, but that's probably not right.
You would be correct, Tass. It was against the Boston Red Sox.
Okay,
yeah.
So who did he hit it off of?
Okay, Tass, I'm going to give you a clue. I think if I give you a clue for the pitcher, you'll nail it.
That's very nice of you.
Knuckleball pitcher for Boston.
Tim Wakefield.
Timmy Dove.
Tim, coming in. The old knuckleballer. Oh, great stuff.
Good job. Okay, that was an easy one for you.
Yeah.
Okay, easy hopefully this one's a bit harder.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll never get this one.
You got? Let's give it a shot.
Are we going to name, if we name his family members, I might.
Oh, Tass, are you reading my mind right now, Tass? You see these questions? No way. Okay, Tass.
All right.
Aaron Boone, not the only baseball player in the family. He has a brother. So the question is, what is his brother's name? Bonus point, they were teammates in 1997 and 1998. Which team did they play for?
Ooh. His brother was Brett.
Correct.
Okay. Just had to make sure because dad was Bob. I remember those.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah. I think his dad worked in the front office for Washington among some other teams, but yeah.
Okay. Which team did they play teammates for? And what year you said it was 97, 98?
97 and 98. National League team.
Yeah. I think I know the only other team that I know that Aaron Boone played on besides the Yankees was the Reds. So is it the Reds?
Tass, look at you.
Yes.
Look at you.
Well, I thought it could be wrong because I assumed Aaron Boone played for a number of teams, but
he did, as did his brother. His brother did played for a couple teams. Actually, Tass's brother played a year in Atlanta. I didn't know that. Yeah, he played for the Braves for 1 year.
Oh, I remember that year. Great year. No, I don't. Okay.
Okay, Tass, last question.
Yeah,
you ready?
Let's do it.
Got to stump you with one here.
Oh,
okay, Tass. I'm going to read three sentences. Two of these sentences are false. One is true. Tass, all you need to do is tell me the sentence that is true. Okay.
All right.
Aaron Boone is a huge Sudoku player, huge Sudoku fan. Aaron Boone was ejected in his MLB debut. Aaron Boone played a season in Japan. Two of these are false. One of these is true. Which is the true one?
Sudoku played a year in Japan, ejected the first time.
In his MLD debut, yeah.
One of those is true. I'm going to go with Sudoku player.
I knew I'd fully gotten one task. No. I like the sound effects. Yeah, Tass, believe it or not, Boone was ejected in his debut. He slid into, he was on second base. He was on the Reds. Guy hit a single, slid into home plate. Catcher, I think, blocked it, and Boone was called out, and he slammed his helmet down, and ump immediately rang him up and said, "You're out." Yeah, rookie for MLB debut. Not a lot of players have done that.
No.
Apparently either. He's in elite company with that.
Wow. And now he's getting ejected all the time. So, yeah, foretelling. Great stuff, Joel. I love the two falses and a true. Nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
You did well, though. I'm Tess. I got to make, casual fan. You nailed those two other questions. I got to make it more difficult next time.
No, don't do it. Because you went back into my wheelhouse in the 90s a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Especially as a family. I know that type of stuff.
Right.
Now, if he didn't have a brother, maybe not. Also, that's the one thing that people know about his playing days was the homer, right? I had forgotten it was Tim Wakefield. But great stuff. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. That is a great trivia set, a bar trivia set. A guy who was ejected in his first major league game. Incredible stuff. Yeah. All right. We're all done, Joel. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Thank you for not making me look terrible on those trivia questions. Looked all right. Okay. Make sure you check out our social media pages. As I mentioned earlier, Instagram, @no_bunts. Check out the Athletic Baseball Show feed, wherever you get your pods, or on YouTube. We stream live every Wednesday morning, 8:15 Eastern time. Head on over to theathletic.com/baseballshow or theathletic.com/nodunks if you're looking for an Athletic subscription. We'll see you next Wednesday. For Joel, for JD, we'll see you then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.